Knock, knock. Knock, knock. Knock, knock. You know, just because somebody knocks at your door does not mean you need to answer it. I'm going to talk about that in this edition of Connecting Faith and Life. Hello, welcome to another edition of Connecting Faith and Life. I'm Mr. Brown, and all we do at this ministry, we want to help you live for God by connecting faith and life. That's why we named the podcast Connecting Faith and Life. I want these podcasts to be practical, and hopefully things that will encourage you to live for God. So today, I want to talk about this simple idea that just because somebody knocks on the door does not mean you need to answer the door. But well, that's being rude. Well, maybe not. And it comes from this idea that I just spoke at a winter retreat, and I was just talking to youth pastor. It's been like maybe a month or so ago, and I asked him something he took away from. And he surprised me. He said what he remembers was when I talked about the fact that when sin knocks on the door, you don't have to answer it. You don't have to, as a child of God, you don't have to. You're not a slave to sin anymore, that I'm no longer a slave to sin. And that encouraged me because that was huge for me to understand. And the idea is this, when someone knocks on the door, I'm going to give you two illustrations. Number one, a lot of kids be trying to tell me knock-knock jokes. And so, and they're kind of a setup, and they'll go, knock-knock, and I'll say, come in. Yeah, I think I'm funny. But the other thing is this. As a kid growing up, Saturday mornings notorious for people going door to door, whether they were Christians or whether they were Jehovah's Witnesses. People going, most of the time Jehovah's Witnesses going door to door. And I remember we should be like, okay, they had the door, hide, you know, don't answer the door, don't move, right? And I thought, you know what? Just because they knock on the door don't mean I have to answer the door. I can keep living my life. I'm not obligated to them. And I'm not being rude, but I'm not obligated. The same thing happens. Like if I'm doing something in my house, somebody going door to door, and I got the Ring doorbell, and they're trying to sell me something, I'm busy. I don't have to answer the door. I can keep doing what I'm doing, right? Well, in a greater sense, the moment I trust Christ as my Savior, I am free from sin, the Bible says. Now, I don't believe that we'll be sinless, but we should definitely sin less because we have a new identity, a new position. We are new people in Jesus Christ, and therefore, my relationship has changed. See, when sin entered the world, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and death passed all men because all have sinned. Romans chapter 5, I think verse 12. That changed everything. The moment Adam and Eve sinned, and I believe when Adam bit, the Bible says everything changed. Their relationship with God changed. Their relationship with each other changed. They hid themselves, and they shame and division and all this. And before, they were walking around free as they can be. No coverings, no need for a covering. No need for covering from themselves, no need of covering from God. But sin broke that. Everything changed. And I think it's interesting in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam sinned, after they sinned, God came looking for them. Now, God knew exactly where they were because God is omniscient. God knows all things. But God asks this question. He says, where are you, Adam? And as a kid growing up, I thought that was like, where are you, Adam? Like God was upset. Now, he may have been brokenhearted about sin, even though he knew it was going to happen because he loved Adam and Eve. But it was more, I think it was more of a, and I can't prove this, but I think it was more of an attitude of Adam. Where are you? You should be with me. You should be here. This is your place. But you have eaten of the fruit of you've disobeyed me. And therefore there's the shame and sin. That changed everything. But the Bible says when Christ died, he changed everything again. Let me look it up real quick. Romans chapter 5. I'm going to focus on Romans chapter 6. But Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says this. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all have sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who were sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. Verse 15, but the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift of grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. Verse 16, and the free gift is not like the result of one man's sin, for judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. Verse 17, for if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ. So listen, the idea here, and you can read this over again, meditate, read in different versions, you can digest some more, but he's saying, hey, Adam was our representative, and because of him sent into the world, and that applied to all men, but Jesus Christ came, and he changed everything. He gave us life through his life, life for life, Christ for ours. Now we have access to eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so my focus was actually going to be Romans chapter 6, but I wanted to give that idea, I'll give that set that part up. Because as a believer in Jesus Christ, and this was one of my struggles in my formative years as I really started seeking after God. I grew up in church. I went through the motions. But in my early 20s, mid-20s, I really started seeking God, going, it's got to be more than life than this. And I understood. I believe I was saved. But I wasn't really growing in my understanding of who I was in Christ. And I felt like I was in this daily battle, and I was in daily battle, that Paul talks about in Romans 7, of this battle with sin, the things I want to do, I don't do, things I don't want to do, I find myself doing, that I felt like I was powerless over this. Until I came across a book, I think one of the guys the manager at the Christian bookstore gave me the book, he gave me some resources. One of them was a book by Charles Stanley called Winning the War Within. And this book really helped me see, it was basically him talking about Romans chapter 6, my new identity in Jesus Christ, that I am no longer a slave, now I'm a saint. And that's why I make a big deal about this sometimes, and people think I'm crazy, but I don't like certain songs, like the one song. And if you like it, that's you, your choice, right? But the one song that says to him, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And I don't like when people say, we're all sinners. Well, as a believer in Jesus Christ, I'm no longer a sinner. I am now a saint. Now, do I sin? Yeah, the Bible says if you say you have some sin, you lie, and truth's not in you. First John chapter 1. But the idea is my identity is no longer in that sin. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, those who are in Christ are new creation. The old is past, behold, new have come. I'm a new creation in Christ because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. Because I'm in him, I'm no longer a sinner. I am now a saint. And Romans chapter 6 was huge in me understanding my new identity and the fact that when sin knocked on the door, I didn't have to answer anymore. Because before I understood this, I felt like when sin knocked, I had to answer. Like, who is it? Come on in. Why? Because I was living out my old life instead of my new life. So let's read Romans chapter 6. And I'm going to try my best to read it. Because for a while, I tried to memorize this from the King James Version. What should we say then? Should we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How should we, the dead, to sin live any longer therein? I probably talk about this verse a lot, this passage, because I think this is foundational to our newfound hope in Christ. And I think to meditate on that, to build that foundation of what Christ has done. Yes, Christ died for me. But what are the implications of Christ's death? Yes, I'm saved. And again, I think salvation, I might have said this before, but I believe the definition of salvation is being saved or rescued from sin. Sin's penalty, sin's power, and one day the very presence of sin. And I'll give you scriptures. Being saved from the penalty of sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. 23, Romans 6, 23, for the wages in the death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So when I am saved, I'm saved from the penalty of sin, but I'm also saved from the very power of sin, that I am free from sin. I'm no longer a slave, and I'm going to read that, Romans chapter 6, and the last tense of salvation, one day I'll be free from the very presence of sin, while I'll be in the presence of the Lord in heaven, new earth, there'll be no more sin. But let's focus on the middle one, that I'm free from the power of sin in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 says this. What shall we say then? What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who die to sin still live in it? He said, listen, you've died to sin. And he's going to break that down more, that we are no longer slaves to sin. We're no longer alive to sin. Why? Because of our faith in Christ. Look at verse 3. Do you not know that all who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? I don't think he's talking about water baptism. I think he's talking about being immersed in Christ's death. A baptism is a symbol of what happened when we trusted Christ. Verse 4, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Listen, that imagery is beautiful. He says, listen, you've died with Christ, and just like Christ was raised, we were raised to walk in newness of life. He says, Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. We too might walk in newness of life. I'm no longer a slave to sin. He's going to talk about that more. But now I'm united with Christ. I'm one with Christ. I walk with Christ. The old has died. Behold, the new is raised to life. And that imagery is beautiful. I don't know. I heard this somewhere, maybe some commentary, but way back when they did baptism, sometimes they would come, they would get baptized in their old clothes, take those off and get new clothes. Why? And you probably have to do that right now when you get baptized. You get into what you get in the water, you're wet, you get out, you go put on some new clothes, right? But it's a symbol that, listen, I'm no longer that person anymore. I am a new person. I've been renewed. I have a new life in Christ. Look at verse 4. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Verse 5. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. I think that word if is more since. Like, it's since we have been. This is not like, did that really happen? It happened. Since we have been united with him in a death like his. Why? We're united with Christ. Our faith in Christ, we're one with Christ. Look at verse 6. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Look at verse 6 again. We know that our old self, our old nature, was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, powerless. It has no power in my life. I can still choose to sin, but that's my choice. But I'm not bound by it anymore. I've been set free from it, but I can still choose to sin. There's a difference. Some people believe that this means that if you're a Christian, you no longer ever sin. No, I believe this. The power has been broken. I still have a choice. As a matter of fact, in the Corinthian church, Paul wrote to them saying, listen, y'all doing all kind of sin, but that's not who you are. Paul was basically saying, listen, because you are saints in Christ, you should live this way. Why? Because our foundation is not in ourselves, it's in Christ, not in our flesh, our humanness, our sinful nature. We have a new nature. That nature is in Christ. Look at verse 6 again. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Verse 7. For one who has died has been set free from sin. I died to my old self. The old me is gone. Behold, the new has come. Verse 8, now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. Look at verse 11. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Circle verse 11, underline verse 11. Understand, and when the King James says, reckon yourselves to be dead to sin, consider, understand this is true, apply to your lives, so that you must consider, you must acknowledge, you must reckon that you have died to sin and are alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's my new life is in Christ. I'm no longer a sinner by nature. I am now a saint who unfortunately sometimes gives in to the temptation of sin. And listen, it's not a sin to be tempted, because Jesus was tempted in every way like we are, yet without sin. So it's not a sin to be tempted. It's sin when we give in to temptation. But the fact that even Christ is proof that he did not have to sin. Why? Because he was free. He was above sin. He was free from sin. He could not sin. As believers, I take on his new life, and now I am free from sin. And one day, I'm looking forward, y'all, to that time where I won't ever be tempted to sin again when I'm in glory with God. That is the goal, right? Because I'm still struggling, because Paul later in chapter 7 talks about the struggle going back and forth. But my identity doesn't change. Just because I experienced this temptation where I may sin, I am no longer that slave. I like that word reckon, because when I was reading the King James, that reckon or calculate, do the math. You're no longer in sin. Look at verse 11 again. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey its passions. Again, knocking on the door, you don't have to answer. You don't have to answer when sin knocks on the door. Even idea, look at verse 12. Let not sin, therefore. There's a choice there. that there's an option there. And before I was saved, I didn't have an option. Sin knocked on the door, I had to answer. Oh, here we go. Because I was a slave to sin, but now I'm a slave to Christ. Look at what he says in verse 13. Do not present your members to sin as instruments of righteousness, of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from the dead to life, death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. Verse 14, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. I think this transformed my life as a believer. When I begin to understand what Christ has done for me, kind of like this, you know, if you have a phone, a smartphone, and maybe you've been doing something just, you know, manually that you know how to do, but when you found out you had this, all these benefits from having a new phone, a smartphone, it kind of blew your mind, right? Like, I can tell my phone to do it. I don't have to type anymore. I have to do this. There's all kind of benefits to things that you have that sometimes you don't know until you know it, right? I think the crucial benefit of salvation is being saved from the power of sin. There's so many believers living defeated lives because we don't understand that we're new in Jesus Christ, that I am dead to sin. And so part of my spiritual journey was this was a crucial season of my life when I understood who I was in Christ. When I started to understand the benefits that come along with salvation, that I'm no longer a slave to sin, that I can say no, that I don't have to answer the door. Knock, knock. I don't have to answer. And I remember one preacher did a sermon. He was talking about this idea that when sin knocks on the door or he's tempted to sin, he would literally say out loud, I'm dead to that. I'm dead to that. Like, you know, Paul says, reckon yourselves, can you just be dead to sin? I'm dead to that. So when temptation comes, I'm dead to that. I think a more powerful thing is to quote scripture like Jesus did, and maybe quoting Romans chapter 6 to say, I'm dead. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law but under the grace. Maybe verse 11, so you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. I'm dead to sin. Maybe that's where you got it from. I'm dead to that. And saying it out loud, to hear yourself say, I no longer have to sin. Why? Because I'm free from sin in Jesus Christ. And I think one of the reasons that temptation has such a pull sometimes on us is because when we're tempted, we start our imagination starts to run wild with us, what it felt like or what we thought. Like even the Israelites, when they were brought out of Egypt, they started to imagine what the food and stuff they got back in Egypt was like. They started longing for Egypt. And I think that's when we get ourselves in trouble, start looking back and longing for the things we used to have instead of remembering who we are in Christ. And I was talking to a friend about, you know, somebody struggles with sin. I said, you know, do you remember one time you overcame that sin? You didn't give in temptation? Yeah, I remember that. How did that feel? Start imagining that. Start thinking about how good it feels to walk with God, to say no to sin and have victory over sin, to walk out and live out your identity in Christ. That's an amazing feeling because that's what we're made to be. That I can look sin in the face and go, no. Now, I'm not saying you go around sin on purpose and get all, no, run from sin, you know? Don't give no provision for the flesh, the Bible says in Romans chapter 14. So yes, I'm not going to get provision, but when sin does rear its ugly head or knock on the door, I don't have to answer. Why? Because I'm dead to that. And so next time sin, knock, knock, knock at the door. Don't say, who is it? Don't say, who's there? Don't say, come in. You can say something, I'm dead to that, and walk away and understand who you are in Christ. So I hope this helps you as much as helped me because of scripture, not my words, but the word of God. So I would challenge you to start meditating Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14, to understand who you are in Christ, who God has made you, and understand salvation. The work on the cross brought salvation, and that salvation is being free from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and one day, the very presence of sin. Hey, thank you for joining us another edition of Connecting Faith and Life. And I hope this podcast is really beneficial to you to help you live for God by connecting faith and life. We appreciate your support. So thank you for your financial support. Thank you for praying for us. And thank you for even taking a moment to listen to this podcast. Please give us some feedback, whether that be through one of your podcast app, give us a rating so other people can hear it, or giving us a rating or a comment on our website, or even, you know, liking us on YouTube, whatever you do. We really appreciate your help. And I hope, again, that our goal is being met to create content for you that helps you live for God by connecting faith and life.